Roundtable Podcasts, underwritten by Proctors, the Capital Region's premier performing arts center featuring the best in entertainment from Broadway and around the globe. Proctors.org.
Chris Gibson, the last time we spoke, you talked about, with great trepidation, about a bill that had passed the House of Representatives. Overwhelmingly, you voted against it, which authorized all kinds of help to Ukraine, which you thought, without putting words in your mouth, might be, you know, a footstep towards a general war, otherwise known as World War III.
Well, it was premature, and it was problematical in my view. And just to recap for those that may not have heard the episode yesterday, I oppose what Russia has done, and I have said so not only in my words but in my actions. I voted to condemn Russia. I voted to support Ukraine. I voted to include Ukraine in the list of nations that are eligible for loan guarantees. And I think that was appropriate. And as we look towards the plan, which I'm looking for the president to enunciate that plan, I wanted to help provide flexibility. But we took an action on the floor of the House, this so-called Ukraine Support Act, that it included military aid to Ukraine in the absence of a plan. I was one of 19 that voted no. There were two Democrats and 17 Republicans that voted no. And I think that we need much more clarity on the situation because, you know, if we're going to do this, I think that there should be an engagement with the American people. There should be a presidential address to the American people. There should be an address to the Congress. We should understand how this piece of it, the military support to the armed forces of Ukraine, fits into the larger effort to bring a peaceful resolution to the matter in Ukraine. So I'm arguing that this moved way too fast, and you know, it not only included the military aid, which includes materiel and training, but it also included exports of natural gas to Ukraine. Now, look, I fully get it. I understand that, you know, Ukraine's really reliance on Russia's energy is part of the problem here, and I would agree that that should be addressed going forward in a manner that leads to, over time, less reliance for not only Ukraine but Europe on Russian exports of natural gas and other matters. But look, we just came through a very hard winter here in upstate New York where our folks here, we paid dearly for energy, for home heating, and for electricity. And I'm not going to be part of an effort that makes it worse for our constituents. Is sending our natural gas overseas, I don't think is the right answer. Think of all the risk associated with this, and this has been an emotional topic here in New York. And now it's been the policy of the United States of America in this bill to export the natural gas. Now, keep in mind, only two Democrats and 17 Republicans voted against this. So you're going to get that natural gas how? Well, you're going to get it through fracking. So this is unfortunately one of those moments where I think we moved too quickly with an action on the floor of the House before the American people were brought in for a fuller discussion about what the appropriate role of the United States is. And, you know, I'm concerned. And now, look, today, as we're taping this on Monday, where our countries are involved in very high-level bilateral discussions. That's a good thing. But yet we have these bills that are passing on the floors of the House and the Senate that I think could complicate the matter. So I'm arguing that we should slow down a little bit in the Congress, wait to see what the president's intentions are, work together, inform the American people, and come up with a unified plan that we can conduct in concert with our friends and allies overseas that will bring a peaceful resolution.
Chris Gibson, let's talk about this fracking business for a moment. It's fascinating. We have a president of the United States, a Democrat, who clearly wants fracking, says so. We have a Democratic governor of New York who, in the beginning, made noises like he wanted fracking, and then there was a tremendous resistance to this based on all kinds, in my mind, of good reasoning, which was, why do we want to frack until we know what the fracking will produce in terms of health challenges and the rest? So do you see a way in which fracking might get federalized? In other words, that we say, okay, since this fracking goes across state boundaries, it's now interstate, therefore the governors don't get to make the decision, the communities don't, the federal government does.
Well, I oppose that. In fact, I want to go the other direction. I'm for empowerment of communities. In general, my work in the Congress is informed by a belief that by strengthening citizens, families, and communities, we are, I think, more in touch with our strengths as a country and in a better position to advance opportunities for everyone to rise to their God-given potential. So, you know, on this matter of fracking, first of all, I do think there is a federal role as far as a floor of regulations. In general, I think in some areas of our economy, there's too much regulation, and in other areas, there's not enough. And, you know, so I'm the co-author of a bill called the FRAC Act, very simple bill, 4.5 pages, and it states that you have to comply with the Safe Water Drinking Act and you have to disclose chemicals. I think that that should be a floor. Then states, based on their specific circumstances, should bring forward a regulatory process that not only protects water and air, but inspires confidence for the state. And then furthermore, even with that, even with a federal and a state piece, ultimately, this should be a decision for local communities to decide. So, you know, I've got counties where, you know, agriculture and tourism are the biggest drivers in their local economies. I'll use Otsego County as an example. I mean, here's a county that has a very strong agricultural presence in the economy, and also the Hall of Fame, the Foothills Performing Arts Center. And when you take a look at their totality of their economy, I'm convinced that they won't frack because they view that as a potential harm to their pocketbook in terms of what already goes well in their county. And I believe that we should be empowering communities to make those final calls. You know, what concerned me about the Ukraine bill is the fact that we just had all but 19 members sign up for, including United States promotion of increased natural gas exports to and energy efficiencies in Ukraine. So I have an issue with that because particularly the tough winter that we just went through and how much our folks in upstate New York paid for home heating and for electricity.
Sometimes double what they paid the year before.
And in some cases, that is true, that I've seen the bills for some of our constituents and they need relief. You know, we need to work together to there's so many other we can work together, be energy independent. That is going to include also renewables, perfecting renewables, and driving down the cost of gas and home heating. And this, I think, will be helpful to us. Not only it will help our foreign policy by being less reliant on imports, but also it's going to help small businesses and it's going to help hardworking families, which will help drive our local economies.
But, Chris, I guess the point I guess you're making, I just want to make sure I'm hearing it correctly, is that if we start to export the kinds of natural gas that come out of our ground, it's going to drive up the already high natural gas prices.
I believe it will. I think it'll actually hurt our constituents, not help them. And keep in mind, you know, the approach that I take with regard to energy is so that it helps our hardworking families, helps our small businesses, and there's risk associated with that. And the last thing I want to see us do is take some risk and then end up it just helps the profits of gas and oil companies. I mean, the reason why we're going to take managed risk, and I've already laid out earlier in this episode what the regulatory processes should be at the federal, state, and local levels to ensure that we manage that risk in a manner that we get confidence in and that we have faith in. But then we shouldn't then be taking that situation, that enterprise, and then exporting those that product because you're taking risk and then you're actually enhancing profits, but you're not helping the hardworking families and small businesses that you're intended to help with the risk that you are incurring.
Chris Gibson, we always love talking to you. You're a smart guy, and you have a tremendous background in military, international relations, a PhD. It's always great to talk to you. And when we come back, I'm going to throw you a political question, okay?